Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It is Saturday morning. It is 10 o'clock. And naturally, you're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as always, with our lines open. You can call us at 222-TALK. That's 222-8255, area code 904. Lines are always open on this show from the top of the hour, and the callers always get priority over everything else. Which leads me to welcome everybody back who already knows that. And if you're new to the show and hadn't heard that before, stick around for a while. Give us a call. Talk about anything you want to talk about. Not all radio shows are created equally. Most of them are pre-recorded, and you can only hear what the host wants you to hear. But this one is different. We'll talk and talk about anything we want to talk about unless you call, and then we'll talk about what you want to talk about. So give us a call at 222-TALK. 222-8255. We've got a lot going on today. It has been an interesting week. I was a little bit afraid that we were going to wind up with the antithesis of last week. We tried real hard, but then it kind of got pulled out a little bit. Not greatly, but enough that it probably has eased a lot of minds in the market what happened on Friday. And as usual, there are probably some reasons for that, some of which might be valid, but a whole bunch of which are probably not valid, and that's valid. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. Why is all this going on? How valid is it? But first, let's discuss what went on and how we were able to get up this morning with a better conscience than we did yesterday morning, looking at some prettier greeny numbers.
Yeah, definitely. On Thursday, it was looking like it was going to be pretty disastrous this week. Energy and financials were taking a real beating, and the rest of the market was kind of moving down along with those sectors. However, by the end of the day Thursday, oil had started to turn around, which turned into a huge rally on Friday of over 10% in oil. And meanwhile, Friday morning, Jamie Dimon, who, if you don't know, is the head of J.P. Morgan, he went and purchased $25 million of his own stock with his own money.
He just had it sitting around anyway.
Yeah, that was actually, they said it was roughly his total comp from last year. So clearly he believes
now, how many times have I told that guy, don't spend it all in one place?
Yeah. Clearly he believed that JP Morgan shares would be trading higher in the future than they are today. And this caused the shares to move sharply higher, and it bled over into other financial stocks as well as the rest of the industry. So we got a pretty big rally on Friday.
Real nice.
Despite that, the Dow still lost 1.4% this week. The S&P and the NASDAQ both were down less than 1%. And this year to date, the Dow is down 8.3%, the S&P 8.8%, and the NASDAQ down 13.4%. Compared to the highs of last summer, all three are in correction territory, down between 12 and 16%. This is officially the worst ever start to a year in stocks in the history of the U.S. market. Hard to believe, but it's true. The second worst was in 1948, and the third and fourth were not surprisingly in 2008 and 2009. So oil wasn't the only commodity to see gains this week, as gold and silver rallied as well. Gold ended up the week more than 6% and is now up more than 19% from its low.
I told you.
Yeah, you knew it was
coming
sometime.
Told you in 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 50.
You had to be right sometime. And silver also climbed almost 6% this week and is up over 13% on the year. And I know everyone wants to know if we're at the bottom in oil. And the truth is, nobody knows.
I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you yet.
Until it happens, sure.
Well, till long after it happens.
Yeah.
Because I want to be sure.
One thing we know is that the absolute bottom would be at $0 per barrel, and we're a heck of a lot closer to that than we were a few years ago.
Well, so 105 to where we are is a long journey downward.
Yep, it sure is. So earnings season continued to roll along this week with no change in the beat rates. 63% of companies are beating on earnings and 52% on revenue. Both, okay numbers.
Tolerable.
Yeah.
They don't scream we're headed into a recession.
No. In fact, there were a lot of signs this week that we are not headed into a recession. They're all just indicators, but overall, I feel like the economy's still plugging along.
I can't justify what's going on.
In general, companies that have given guidance on their future earnings have been really bearish this year, though, and that's the outlook that they give for next year, the upcoming year, and it's been pretty bad. Whether it's just negative sentiment due to economic forecasts or the companies are actually seeing weakness in their businesses remains to be seen. By sector, the strongest results this season have been posted by healthcare companies, followed closely by technology companies, which ironically are two of the worst sectors in the market right now. And on the flip side, utilities and telecom have posted the weakest beat rates this season, but have seen pretty relatively strong stock performance, so kind of an unusual situation. We saw some pretty strong economic data this week, including a very good jobless claims number of 269,000, which reversed the steady increase we had been seeing in claims this year. This is great news for a number of reasons, but as I mentioned, the best one is that a spike in jobless claims is a pretty good recession indicator. And clearly, we're not seeing that right now. We also saw strong retail sales numbers in January, as well as a positive revision to December. So if you strip out gas station sales declines due to cheap gasoline, the numbers look even better than the 0.2% growth that was reported. If you want to know where all the money that consumers are saving on gas is going, just look at what areas of retail sales have increased the most over the last year, and that would be automobiles, online shopping, and bars and restaurants. So that's where your gas savings money is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you fill up on your way to dinner out and it costs you less than it did, you might spend a little more.
Get a better bottle of wine.
Let's face it, somebody has money in their pocket, they're going to spend it, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the American way.
Okay, I was looking at some of this stuff and I asked myself a few questions about what's going on. Is a quarter point increase responsible for all this? The loss of value in the world's markets since that quarter point interest rate increase is $8 trillion.
That's a big number.
If we go up another one, do we lose another eight or is it marginal?
Well, ironically, I think that's the same amount that Bernie Sanders is proposing in new taxes.
That could be. Hmm. Maybe they're just preparing. So I don't buy it. I don't like it. It exists, but I don't buy it. That's not enough reason.
No, that would not justify no. That.
The Fed alone, for all of my negative feelings about the Fed, I don't even think they have that much power.
No.
No. People have been waiting for this, the way I see it. How about the Eurozone GDP, which came up almost to where it was before 08? That wouldn't cause a big sell-off, would it? And yet it sold off. What about Carrier closing its Indiana plants and moving them to Mexico? That one I'm going to talk about a little bit after the break because I had a couple of trivia questions. I'm going to go with the original one. When Obama took office, we were ranked as the sixth freest economy in the world. 7 years later, under Obama and his policies, what are we ranked now? This might have a little something to do with the sell-off in the market, the very, very slow recovery, and a lot of other things that people are feeling. We have been taxed and stymied and regulated and so on, and we all know it, and I do think it's taken a toll. Now, fortunately, there are a lot of people talking about changing that system a little bit, and we will hopefully have some of those things go away. All right, we're coming up on the break. Stay with us a little bit. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-750-4356.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-750-4356. That's 1-800-750-4356.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait.
800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. That's 800-738-1912.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question still out there. Back when Obama took office, we were the sixth freest economy in the world. Where are we now? And I'll give you one hint. We're not higher than that. Now, that's not to say that we're lower, because it could be equal or less, but that's the trivia question. Whoever gets it will get our little gift from Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Okay, this one, to all you people who get scared, A, I don't blame you. But I might be able to scare you even more when I talk about the consequences of some things we do. Back in October of 07, when the market started its 18-month slide that ended in October of 07 and ended in March of 09, if you got out right there at the bottom of the market in March of 09, which a lot of people did, and then you were hesitant to get back in until you were pretty sure it was over, let's say you waited until January 1. That's about 9 months later. The average stock today that was in existence on that low day in March of 09 is up 330%. But you take all those same stocks and wait till January of 2010, just 9 months later, and buy them, they're only up 105%. So you missed a 225% recovery by being out for the very, very limited time frame of 9 months. If that doesn't scare people into not trying to time the market, nothing that I can think of would. The problem with a lot of people is they put their money in the market when it shouldn't be there because they're afraid of doing it at all, or they need it within 5 years. If any of those things are happening, there are other things to do with it, folks. So just something to chew on a little bit. Okay, Adam, why is all this happening?
Well, I have a theory about that.
I do too.
And so unless you've been under a rock, you know that the market has been declining for the last 2 months. But in fact, the market peaked last summer, and it's been a slow, steady decline in the second half of 2015, and the pace of that decline has accelerated in 2016. But why? No one really knows, but my theory about the driver of this market decline is bubbles. And I know that sounds weird, because when I graduated from college in 1998, the term bubble, as I knew it, referred to the soap and water mixture that my kids like to play with. Mm-hmm. But since then, the term bubble has been increasingly used to describe the irrational behavior that investors sometimes exhibit. So during my adult life, we have seen a series of bubbles, all of which have come crashing down, as bubbles so often do. I'm sure there are some underlying reasons why bubbles seem to be forming and popping in the modern era so much more than at any time in history, but regardless, it's definitely happening. First, we had the dot-com bubble from 1999 to 2001, and we all remember how that ended. Most of us probably lost some money during that time, or at least had a friend who lost big on some tech-type stock.
Or probably even more common than that was people that lost money that they didn't never really had because it was only there on paper.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people rode that way up, and things were just crazy back then.
They were indeed.
And they came crashing down. And apparently, we didn't learn our lesson from that bubble, though, because in 2003, I started hearing from everyone that I needed to buy a house right now. Why?
Yeah, it was great advice at the time, yeah. Wasn't it?
Why? Not because I had a steady income and there are so many benefits from home ownership and it's just the right thing to do, but rather because I could make a huge profit on it. What happened next? Well, the housing bubble happened. That all came crashing down in 2007 and 2008 during the financial crisis. My point in bringing this up is that for those of us in my age range, our entire adult life has been defined by a series of periods of irrational run-ups in the prices of some product, followed by an inevitable crash of the price of that product, followed by a period of economic recession. This has created a great amount of fear of anything that seems to be enjoying a period of sustained increases in price. Everyone knows the old saying that what goes up must come down. After 7 years, people are nervous that this bull market is just another in a series of bubbles. However, just about the only thing that I agree with Janet Yellen said this week is that bull markets don't die of old age.
That is true. In fact, if you look at the long ones, it's years longer than we've been in this one.
Absolutely. There's no historical evidence to suggest that this has ever happened, nor does it make a lot of sense. However, that doesn't stop the fear from creeping in for investors or traders. This fear is also the reason that the market is reacting to every piece of news like it is bad news. So what do I mean by that? The best example that I have is oil. The price of oil is down about 80% from its peak of about $140 in 2008 and down about 75% from its peak of around $114 in 2011.
That was my first comment that I'm going to do later on bizarro economics.
A large percentage of companies in the world use oil in one form or another as a raw material in their quest to make a profit. If they can now buy that same raw material for 75% less than they were during the middle of the bull market, shouldn't that be a net benefit for their profits?
What were those doors again?
Not only does it benefit oil companies by adding to their bottom line, but it also benefits them from the demand side as well. What do Americans do when they have extra cash in their pockets? What, save it? No, of course not. They go out and spend it. They go buy things. It's the American way. So low oil prices benefit many companies by lowering their costs and increasing the disposable cash that their customers can spend with them. So how can that possibly be bad news for the economy and therefore for stocks? It just doesn't make any sense. Fear is also driving the rhetoric about China. First of all, the China news is not breaking news. I first learned that their growth rate was unsustainable from one of my favorite professors in business school in 2001.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. He called it way back then. He said there's no way that they can keep up this growth rate forever because so much of it is based on farmers moving in from the fields, going into the cities, becoming factory workers and consumers of electronics and housing and all sorts of things that they'd never purchased before.
I always equate it to the snowball theory. you roll a snowball, for those of you who've lived in Florida all your life, snow is the white stuff that falls up where we came from.
You've seen it on TV.
Yeah. You take a little snowball and start rolling it on a good snow day where it'll stick and pack a little bit. And that little snowball grows to be a big snowball in a real hurry. Then, once your snowball gets big and you keep rolling it, it gets bigger really slowly. I equate it to Microsoft. This is what happens when companies get really big and they mature. Their growth rates go down.
Apple.
They generate a lot of cash and become dividend payers. And that's a lot of what's happening in NASDAQ, which I'll talk more about now. And it goes back to what you said, and it's absolutely true about the NASDAQ companies. The reason that this isn't the same as it used to be back in 99 is they weren't making any money back then. NASDAQ today, once it hit the 5,048 old record from 99, or from March of 2000, it is based on a far different metric. These companies are worth something. They're making money. That's why it's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Mm-hmm. So if my favorite professor was able to warn me about China 15 years ago, and even the cable news networks have been reporting this for close to a year now, how is the slowdown in China even news?
You know, we've been talking about it since I can remember.
Yeah, not to mention, their economy isn't shrinking. It's growing at a robust 6.9%. If our economy were growing at 6.9%, Janet Yellen would be hiking rates so fast that we would have Carter-era mortgage rates in no time.
You got that right.
Exports to China also account for less than 1% of the United States GDP. So while I understand that China is a key market for some of our larger corporations, such as Apple, does the fact that their growth slowed last year really drive the value of American corporations and therefore stocks? No, I don't think so. Lastly, we have the Fed. I've never seen so much discussion around a non-event like a quarter-point interest rate hike.
Been talking about that almost as long as some of the other things.
What has happened since that quarter-point rate hike? Did mortgage rates go up?
No, they went down.
Exactly. Did the yield on your savings account go up?
Not mine.
I haven't noticed anything. Did auto loans go up to a point where people can't afford to buy cars anymore?
They're still giving them away.
Exactly. So, besides, Yellen also spent about a year warning us that she was going to do this, so it should have already been priced in. And if it hasn't been priced in and this recent drop is a result of that quarter-point rate hike, then this market is not as efficient as what we have been led to believe, which I just don't buy it. I don't buy it.
People are looking for an excuse.
Exactly. So overall, I think that people are just so scared of the bubble and they don't want to get hit by that downside from the bubble that they're afraid to even get in at this point.
Yeah, let's bring it around to what to do. Would you rather buy something at full price or on sale?
On sale.
I like that. What if you're a young person? The biggest mistake young people ever make in investing is they don't take enough risk.
And that is true.
It'll get you in the long run if you don't take enough risk. What do I mean by risk? That means investing in equities. Equities are more volatile than bonds and cash, things like that. You should be in them when you're young, I would say, up to and including possibly 100%. Another mistake that young people make way too often is that when things get bad out there in the market, they stop contributing to their 401ks, thinking, oh, the market's too low. That's the time when you double down.
Exactly.
You want to have all kinds of money going into the market. I would postpone purchases to put money in a market at $15,000 a lot quicker than at $18,500. And that's what's happened, folks. Now we're kicking back up towards $16,000. We got an old friend I'll tell you about after the break who says this, it's only about 2 or 3 days from being the bottom. No one knows for sure, but he gets paid to do this kind of stuff and he's made a lot of money, so at least I'll tell you about it. Anyway, we're going to go into the break, and don't go anywhere because the second half will be a lot of fun. Again, I remind you, you're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. We'll see you in a minute.
News, traffic, and weather. Updated on the stories that matter. We've got you covered. AM 600 and FM 100.3. WBOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Tens of thousands of cheering Mexicans gathered outside the residence where Pope Francis is staying to send him off on his first full day in Mexico. An official welcome at the presidential palace, a meeting with the country's bishops, was all part of the day's plan. Russians, ranging from Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev to ordinary citizens, are seeing the landmark meeting of the heads of the Roman Catholic and Russian Orthodox churches as having significance far beyond just religion. Meeting in Havana today, they also talked about a broad range of global issues. Afghan officials say Taliban insurgents have killed six Afghan security personnel in two separate attacks. The commander of U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan says that the insurgents used stolen Humvees packed with explosives to launch an attack, which resulted in what he described as casualties on both sides. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-750-4356.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-750-4356. That's 1-800-750-4356.
News Talk AM 600 and FM 100.3 WBOB would like to thank our veterans for putting everything on the line to protect our freedom. Show them how much you appreciate all they've done by sharing your time, lending a supportive hand, a warm smile, or a sympathetic ear. Go to volunteer.va.gov and make our veterans know how much we appreciate their service. And thank you from News Talk AM 600 and FM 100.3 WBOB. Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, February 17th at 6 p.m., enjoy free weekly group runs at the Fernandina Beach High School track. Wednesday, February 17th at 7 p.m., it's square dance lessons at the Arlington Presbyterian Church. And Wednesday, February 17th at 7:30 p.m., it's Melissa Etheridge in concert at the Thrasher Horn Center for the Arts in Orange Park.
For more information or to have your event included, visit jackscommunityevents.com.
Hi, this is John from Faith Jewelers with a simple thought. If you've got to buy the most expensive engagement ring to get her to say yes, then you're proposing to the wrong girl. The ring is a symbol of what's in your heart, not what's in your wallet. At Faith Jewelers, helping guys like you is our specialty. You can pick out a ring from one of our showcases or select a loose diamond and setting that we'll put together. If that won't work, you can select something from our live catalog of designer styles. Regardless of your budget, we can design a sure thing ring that will remind her of what's in your heart every day. Stop by Faith Jewelers, your friendly family jeweler.
WBOB traffic and weather.
Well, roads are finally quiet this morning. Weather-wise, sunny, high today 57, mostly clear tonight, lows 39. For Sunday, mostly sunny, looking for high 57 once again. Sunday night, a little bit of rain, 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, lows near 50. And Monday, your holiday, 20% chance of showers, mainly in the afternoon, high 72. It's 53, News Talk AM 600, FM 100.3 WBOB.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I want to welcome everybody, especially to our second first anniversary show. Does that make any sense?
Not really.
Good to me.
Okay.
Those of you who have been loyal listeners and those of you who were here last week might remember that last week was the beginning of year number two of the show, and it was kind of an unusual 1 year, and that the very first show wound up due to some electrical problems being about 8 minutes long. So I dubbed this show our second first anniversary because it's the first anniversary of our first hour-long show.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah, a little convoluted perhaps, but nonetheless. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. And I was going to say things that stop growing, so let's do projects. And I've just remembered, it's about 70 degrees out there. Might want to call them for maintenance this time. That's not my usual wintertime way to talk about these things. Well, as always, callers always go to the top of the line. So good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How's everything?
All right. Do you think that SPX 1812 was that double bottom that a lot of people were looking for, or do you think we're going to retest those lows?
Oh, boy.
Good question.
How about if I give you somebody else's opinion? We have an old friend named Tom DeMark who lives in Arizona. And we went to school with my wife, and we all knew him. And Adam went to school with his kids when they lived in Wisconsin. He just picked up an article by him this morning on the way in here. He says the bottom is about 2 or 3 days away. Now, Tom is one of the most famous charting people in the world. He does the charts, and he does a lot of interviews. I would never put my money on him or any other individual. But it's an interesting concept that we're right about there based on what happened this week. I just don't think that we're in a position now that would cause this market to tumble down. We're not going into a recession from all the indicators. Are you feeling like that's the case?
Well, I'm very concerned about the Chinese and European banking system collapsing like we had in 2008. And, you know, I think that's the problem, is the systematic risk out there is, you know, with oil being so low, you know, a lot of banks have bad loans, and there's so much, in my opinion, potential for systematic risk that I think that's what's been keeping the market down.
Yeah, but is that true just now, or has it been true for the last 20 or 30 years? Look at the Bank of Japan back in the 80s. You talk about leveraged. If there's always risk in this market, that's why the rewards are good in the equity market, given time to get them. So I can't say truthfully that I believe that the systematic risk is above what is common, I guess, not everyday common. I don't see anything outrageous in there. The financial sector is certainly getting punished a little bit right now.
Yeah, and that includes the U.S. financial sector, which is nowhere near as risky as Europe and Japan right now.
And I don't know what Jamie Dimon knows that we don't know, except it's his job. And he just bought $25 million worth of his own bank stock.
Well, the U.S. banks were ridiculously oversold.
Yes.
But, you know, one thing that concerns me is that on Jim Cramer's 10-point checklist, he doesn't check off any boxes at all right now as far as a tradable market bottom. Maybe the dollar might be the only check mark on his 10-point checklist. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
What, you know, the only thing that bothers me about that is he's one guy also, just like I was talking about with our old friend. If you look back the last 2 weeks and read Cramer's advice every day for 2 weeks, he has said to get in, and then the market crashed, and he said to get out, and then he said, don't get in right now, and it went up. Nobody knows these things. Anybody who thinks they know it are wrong. The oldest rule in investing is get in smart, meaning diversify. That's the only way. You can't take systematic risk completely out of your portfolio, but you can diversify, which will reduce that risk as much as humanly possible. Make sure you don't need that money for 5 years. Add to it as you can, and just make sure your portfolio stays in pretty good shape. Rebalance once in a while if there's a shakeup in one of the markets. Over time, you just can't beat time in the market by timing the market.
Well, if I remember from your previous calls, Chuck, or call the other day, you're a pretty active trader. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what are you doing right now? Are you out, or are you trading during the day, or are you holding anything?
I look to go short on the SPY or certain stocks. Like right now, I'm short Apple. And Apple barely moved, even though the Dow was up 300 points. That tells me there's a lot of overhead supply, and the chart is forming a descending triangle. Usually it breaks to the downside on high volume to resolve it. And so Apple is a huge component of the SPY, the SPX, the Dow, and the QQQ. And so Apple, if it breaks this descending triangle, could take the whole market down with it. And so that's my concern.
Yeah, I saw that. It was only up, want to say like a third of a point or something on Friday, while the rest of the market was up about...
But remember where it was, too.
Yeah, 94.
Remember when it was in the 120s, it's already been punished very hard for what was actually the best quarter that anybody's ever had. And it's expectations now that drove it down to where it is.
Well, it was their own guidance, though.
It was. Yeah. They say things are slowing down. But that goes back to my snowball comment, doesn't it? They're so big now, you can't keep doing what they've been doing forever. It's a mature, more mature company now that's more of a dividend play over a long period of time with solid value. But it's not going to be a growth thing like it was. I just don't see it falling too much lower.
Well,
could be wrong.
The only way they could... go ahead, Chuck.
I'd like to be... Yeah, I'm an IBD Investors Business Daily guy. I'd love to be bullish, but I just see too many potholes out there, and... The other thing that bothers me is the volume on the rally yesterday was very, very low. And that tells me the institutional traders were not buying into this, that it was a lot of short covering. And usually you see these vicious short covering rallies in a bear market, and
that's
true. That's what it was. And so that tells me that there's probably more downside to be tested, but... That's my point of view.
Yeah, and neither of us would be surprised if that was the case.
No, and if anybody has significant amount of assets on the side of the market, rather than just jumping in, I would probably recommend some kind of a phased buy-in, dollar cost averaging type buy-in, rather than taking all that risk right now, maybe do a tenth of it, 10 times being a specific day of the month or something like that. But I don't see that we're poised for the great fall any more than we have been over decades that I've been in this. I first learned in 91, I guess it was, 92. I was so sure when Bill Clinton took over, because he was a Democrat, that the market was going to crash. And I'm telling a story on me now. So I got out. And look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I've learned to take all of the information that you can get, assimilate it all, and ignore almost all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other worrisome thing is the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Netflix were all down yesterday or barely changed in a market that goes up 300 points. And so when the leadership stocks are not moving up, and that is worrisome too.
Well, the leadership stocks may be rotating into a few others,
I think. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. That usually doesn't last for multiple years. You'll see a group of leaders one year, and then the next year they will not be the outperformers.
Yeah, the problem is that my crystal ball is just a little bit cloudy right now.
No doubt about it.
I'm not sure. Hey, did you want to take a shot at the trivia question? We used to be sixth most free economy, and we've moved now downward to what number?
You talking about the U.S. overall?
Uh-huh.
And you say we used to be sixth?
Yes, when Obama took office, we were sixth most free.
Oh, I'm going to say, 15 or 20.
You're a little too far, but you got the right idea. All right, music's playing. I got to run. Thanks for the call. Yeah, great insight. It's just real hard to discover what to do about it. All right, folks, we'll be right back after the break. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-297-1665. That's 1-800-297-1665. 1-800-297-1665. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call.
Call 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293.
This is an important message about the IRS. Are you dealing with a tax crisis? If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? The IRS is offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, a government program for tax debt forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Paul Sibley, Director of Client Services with U.S. Tax Shield. The IRS is offering Fresh Start initiatives because they actually want you to resolve your tax issues. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, stop the bleeding, and fix what caused your problem in the first place. Our goal is to negotiate a resolution you could live with and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-418-0572 for your free consultation and get protected now. That's 800-418-0572. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-418-0572.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a few more things we need to cover today. So far, we're moving along quite nicely. It is tax time. Isn't that special? And a new thing has come up. There's always something new. Where there's money, there are bad people. Where there are bad people, there are clever people. And where there are clever people, they are always going to get somebody's money. You have to outsmart them. You've heard us talk in the past about getting an IRS identity PIN number. It is available for two kinds of people. The first one is residents of Florida, Georgia, and Washington, D.C. And the second one is for people who have encountered identity theft problems in the past. If you think about that, what I just said, why would the IRS open this up to people in Florida, Georgia, and D.C.? Because that's where the fraud is. If you're listening to me right now, chances are probably above 90% that you live in Florida or Georgia, and you need an IRS PIN number. What does it do? You're probably familiar with two-step identification. For instance, when I log into Amazon, I have to put in my password, and all of a sudden I get a text message with a number on it, and I have to input that number or they won't let me on the website. That's second level identity protection. And I recommend that people do that for banks, credit card accounts, all that kind of thing. The concept of getting one for the IRS is probably at the head of the list. The thing you should protect the very most is your status with the IRS. And we have had friends and clients who have encountered this. There is no worse feeling, I gather, from these people than submitting your tax return and then hearing back from the IRS that, oh, you already filed and got your refund. Oops. Because guess what happens then? You take off on a long and ugly search, I guess, to prove to them that it wasn't you. Then they have to go after these people. They probably won't get them anyway. And what happens to your refund? You will get it back. You know how you get it back?
I believe it is credited towards next year's.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So if you were looking for that check to come back or a deposit to your checking account because you overpaid, well, guess what? It isn't going to happen if somebody beats you to it. So they came up with this wonderful PIN number, which I have, and I recommend everybody in the sound of my voice get. So along come the bad guys. And what happens now? Automated attacks from crooks who have developed ways to get access to innocent users' online accounts. Now, this one's partly on the IRS, too. The crooks came up with a system whereby they could find your basic identification, including your Social Security number, and use it to access the second-level PIN. How clever is that? You only have to know one level to get in there and get your PIN. Now you know both levels. So what happened now, and I'll read this because I want to get it exactly right. Based on our review, we identified unauthorized attempts involving approximately 464,000 unique Social Security numbers, of which 101,000 were used to successfully access an e-file PIN. 101,000 Americans had their PIN number stolen now. So they did all the right things. They got out there and they did the two-level identification, and still they're getting robbed. The incident involving an automated bot occurred last month, and IRS continues to closely monitor it. IRS says it will contact everyone whose account was affected by that. They will not call you. Remember that. IRS will not call you. There are some rare times when they might hang up. Don't bother. I don't care if it's actually them. Hang up anyway. They'll send you a letter. Trust me. All right. Now what's going to happen? There is a stronger form of 2FA, which is the
two-factor authentication
that the IRS has put out now as the identity PIN. It's a six-digit number that's sent to you by snail mail. No one can get it unless they rob your snail mail. If you were to get one of these in the mail and it appears to have been opened, write to them immediately, get a new one, because that's another way that people can get in there. You have to keep yourself as safe as humanly possible. This one, of all the identity theft problems, to me, this is the worst one, and it can take a long time to get back into good graces with the IRS. You just don't want to have to deal with them if you don't have to. So go to the second level identification, and if you get notified, for heaven's sakes, get back on there and go to the second level thing, and you will be ultimately better off. Take some time. That it's absolutely worth it. All right, got some bad guys. It always happens. You know, I love to report on bad guys that were in our business. It's not because of knee, they did that and we don't. That's not it. I'm always trying to make a point. And the point on this one is, if you see some of these things that sound familiar with the people you're using, you need to know about that. Here's one from May of 2014. SEC fined a longtime advisor about $1 million, and it was about his advertising. One of the things that's most important in our business is that if you advertise results, you better be able to back that up.
And by back that up, if you even miss by a decimal point, they will be all over you. You have to be so careful.
And what if you've got 100 clients and one of them had these results and his or her portfolio was different than everybody else's, and you put that in your advertisement, knock, knock, knock on your door.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was $1 million because he claimed on a footnote on his advertising some results that he couldn't back up. That's something to look for. Does your advisor promise you returns? We won't. We will promise you due diligence. We'll promise you a lot of things. We'll promise a good diversified portfolio and that sort of thing, but we will not promise you results, which is probably a very good time to talk about we, meaning what do we do, how do we do it, because I just gave you a little bit of insight to it.
Sure. We are fee-only financial planners in Jacksonville Beach, and we are located right off the Marsh Landing Parkway, exit of Butler Boulevard. It's very easy to get to from anywhere in town. And you can find us on our website also at www.vanweefinancial.com. We do a blog on there where we talk about a lot of things that we talk about on the radio and then some that we don't, and it's updated weekly. Lots of good stuff, so check back frequently. If you miss a show, podcasts are available on iTunes or on SoundCloud.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/VanWeFinancial, where you can actually book a meeting with us if you ever want to come in and take an hour and talk about your financial situation. We're also available on Twitter at VanWeFinancial, and you can also email us info@VanWeFinancial.com.
Okay, now, I was talking about bad guys. Here's a really good one. His name is Nicholas Rowe. He was from New Hampshire. He was barred from the securities industry for life because of his risky investments and insufficient closures. Well, that wasn't good enough for the SEC. He's actually been banned for life twice. I guess they're expecting him to get really, really old. Don't know, but this has got to be some kind of a new record. One of the little things he was guilty of, he was found to have used $113 million of his client's money to pay his own taxes.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
That's more money than most advisors manage.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, how could $113 million be disappearing from your accounts? This is where you learn something. If you, and you've all heard this before anyway, if you don't have a third-party website who is someone you know, a Schwab, a TD Ameritrade, or somebody like that, where you can go and look at your money, if it's got his name on it or a firm name on it, and you can't just go there and look and get things done, you are setting yourself up for a fall. $113 million. Unbelievable. All right, one of the reasons the market isn't doing better is because we don't have the economic freedom that we used to have. When Obama came in, we were the sixth most economically free country in America, in the world, and we are now down to 11th, and it's not getting better. Vote carefully, people. This is really important, and the market will come up. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. This is, like I said, the official start of our second year. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour, and you can do again next week at 10 o'clock.
You know you're broke when...
Figured out the cheap toothpaste we've been using is really...